Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everyday Attraction. My name is Ray, and I am so excited to have you with us in this vibrational vortex that we're creating that we call this internet radio show. But really, this is an opportunity to be at play, to be playing with what we call the laws of attraction, but more importantly, to be at play with your spirit, your soul, your high self, as you cavort with all the energies on this beautiful planet that we call Earth. So this is about fun. This is about looking at life from a perspective that says, who am I really? And it is so exciting for me to also welcome a very special guest who you've heard on this show once before. I have with me today a vibrational healer, teacher, medical intuit, and I am so honored to say, dear friend, Reverend Julie Renee. Welcome. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Ray. So nice to be on the show. Blessings to you.
Thank you so much. We had such a great time last time you were on the show, and I think, of course, we just scratched the surface about who you are and what you do in this wonderful vibrational realm. So I just thank you for being here today, and we're gonna have kind of an open forum, and I can see already the switchboard is lit up.
I love you all. That's wonderful. That's great.
Of this idea of the stories that we tell ourselves sometimes, and that we are able to release stories that allow us to become more truly who we are. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this idea. Okay, we're having some fun with the technology.
Okay, there you are.
Oh, my dear.
Well,
you know, you just got to go with the flow.
Okay. I was just checking to see if we were still on the air. I was just dialing in my computer.
That was fun. So I'm not sure how much of my last diatribe you've got, but I'll try and recap it. So,
okay.
I found it was really interesting, this energy that was coming through in our last show, the consciousness of being stuck, like having all these.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun with that, and the caller was so awesome, and she really got that was kind of a story she was telling herself. But I ended up going to the Abraham Workshop last week in Los Angeles, and the whole 6 hours was dedicated to one artist of another who was saying, you know, I'm blocked, I can't create, I can't connect. What do you do with that question when someone comes and says, you know, I'm blocked or I'm stuck?
Well, the first thing I do is a little bit of coaching around that issue, because it's a mental situation where a person is hypnotizing themselves into believing that they are blocked or stuck. So if you had a perspective, which was everything that comes to me gives me the opportunity to take my next spiritual step, then you would be moving forward even if there were a lot of things clearing, kind of like detoxing. Some people interpret a cold as they're detoxing, and some people interpret a cold as, oh, I'm really sick, and they like have this whole kind of thing about it. But it could be like you could interpret it in a particular way that stuck doesn't exist, like stuck doesn't exist in the spirit realm. We do shifts, and we do have things come up that we need to clear. But, you know, for a really rapid clearing, so that's like a shift in mindset, but for a rapid clearing, we do they're very much affirmations, but we go back into past lives and we clean them out. So the first affirmation is, I love myself. I love myself. And then we test to see if that's true by using kinesiology. And we can actually see 4 lifetimes ago or 8 lifetimes ago when that stopped being true and what that event was. And then we unhook that event. It's very rapid. Then we test the same affirmation again. I love myself. And we go back in and we see maybe there's something 2 lifetimes ago. And then we clear until we get all of those clear. I love myself. And so when you say I love myself, it actually feels really good, in sync, aligned with who you are. You actually have a physical shift in yourself. You feel different when you say it. And then the second F is I trust myself. I trust myself. And we do the same process again. And the third affirmation that we do, I will express my unique self. And we go through and clean that out. And when we've cleared those out, then we can go into the one specific affirmation that nails down the where is the area that seems to, appears to have a block. And, you know, a lot of times since I work with abundance, we'll have people go, I just can't create, or there's something blocked in my abundance. I know that I need to shift something, but I don't know how to do it, and I've done everything I can think of. And so one of the affirmations is, I'm a master of my money. And another one is, paperwork comes easily and naturally to me, gets done quickly and efficiently. And we just make something up, and we go back into timelines and past lives, and we clear those things that have blocked people from really successfully playing things out in this lifetime. So sometimes it's just some little tiny thing that's weighing, you know, kind of playing in to this life.
I love how you're talking about really kind of refocusing on both a conscious and a subconscious level. And I understand that it is really about choosing something different, choosing that path. Like you say, there is no such thing as stuck in the spirit realm. So it is about remembering that, knowing that you're making it up level, but that's okay. Just maybe make it different, as you say, in past consciousness. That's okay. It's just a story that can unravel. I love the fluidity of that. Like, there's nothing that you have to bear. You know, it is really a choice.
Absolutely. It really is. And enthusiastically going forward and saying, I'm invincible. We have a lot to do. You know, as a spirit, we can create whatever we want to create. And, you know, it just keeps revealing itself to me more and more and more on so many wonderful levels of the complications we create for ourselves are really those opportunities to grow, but if we don't want those complications, we can create an easier way to grow. So, I mean, if we're just set at, you know, moving forward spiritually is hard and difficult and takes lots and lots and lots and lots of lifetimes of work, then that's the way we're always going to operate, you know? And if we create it, like, we're going to grow, and it's going to be like a burst, and we're going to be a bonfire, and it's just going to, like, everything that needs to dissipate is going to get burned off in one full swoop, you know, we can have that too.
Oh, I love the humor in your voice. It's just so true that we do have to step back and say, you know, I have a friend who always says, hey, it's your movie. Hand another script to the people.
Absolutely. That's so true.
I know. I'd like a rewrite, please. Go out the door and come back in again.
And, you know, that we actually literally can do that every moment of every day. See something that isn't working and go, oh, let's do a rewrite. You know, we totally, completely can rewrite the script over and over and over again so we get it till it's our dream life. And that's one of the things I love to teach about in the abundance class and in the unlimited love class, too. It's like, we write the script. Well, if there's some things to let go of and to clear, great, but we're writing our own script.
It's so much fun. If you just joined us, I'm speaking with Reverend Julie, who is really about miraculous, which is what we do the show today. And you can get more information about her and her classes. I've taken her Strip Abundance class, and I cannot say enough about it. Her website is simply www.julierenee.com. And should we go ahead and let the cat out of the bag about miraculous living here, Julie?
Yes, please do.
Julie Renee is actually going to have her very own radio show. As of next week, we'll be launching Miraculous Living Radio on both Live 365 and Blog Talk Radio Network. So more information coming around, but it will be next week, September 9th, and it'll be an early morning. So if you are connecting with either Everyday Attraction or Julie Renee, you'll get more information about that next week. So very excited to hear you on the air, as they say.
Thank you. Me too. And thank you. Ray actually is assisting me, and I just want to acknowledge what an amazing woman she is, and she's assisting me with producing the show. And really, I thank you so much, because the technology is a realm I don't live in. I live, you know, off in the spirit world a lot of the time, so it's great to have my wonderful spirit friends who are also grounded in technology who can take me to the global.
My absolute pleasure, and it is fun to move forward in both of these worlds, because they really are miraculous. I think that the fluidity of our spirit, our technologies, they're sort of just coming in alignment with that. And it is so much fun to deal in both the reality and the vibrational reality, as Abraham says, it's coming, that which we're dreaming to be. And I love participating in both those worlds. So we've got a couple of callers who have their hands raised. Are you up for a little connection?
Bring it on.
Bring it on. All right. 415-453, you are live on Everyday Attraction with Reverend Julie Renee.
Hi, Nay. Hi, Julie Renee. This is Charcel. Thank you. I want to thank both of you for being such, you know, wonderful teachers and being so open and giving with your knowledge. I've learned so much from both of you. And as you both know, I was in the abundance class, and I don't think you could have got a more clear lesson on how we can control what happens in our lives than I got during that with my hospital visit. And I'm learning to shape other parts of my life, and I've just started finally getting this flicker of, there is no lack in my life. I have this place, you know, Ray every once in a while talks about breaking something. And I have this plate waiting for me to break it when I'm a little bit stronger in that. And I wondered if, Julie Renee, if you have some advice on how I could, you know, create an affirmation or how to tweak my whatever, so that I can go forward by realizing that there is no lack in my life and that I am abundant when it comes to finances.
Very cool. Yeah, absolutely. And Charcel and a lot of the women listening today, we were born in the patriarchal era, and I talked about this a little bit in the last of the abundance sessions a couple weeks ago. And one of the things that happens is we are born into an age that, you know, was with male-dominant financial institutions. And one of the things that I'm bringing into my teaching is about really clearing, really breaking the glass ceiling for women so that we get into the age of androgyny, which we are now in, the Aquarian age, mm-hmm. and that we can actually fully embody and fully express ourselves financially. And so a lot of women were actually in their DNA, literally, and in their social consciousness, were taught that men were going to be the ones who were going to make the financial things happen. And so one of the things that I have rewritten the script slightly for the next class that's coming up, the Abundance class, starting on October 1st. But big, big news, we have a Platinum Club starting on January 1st, and it's a year-long learning process, especially for women who want to break the glass ceiling and want to really soar, so getting in the 6 and 7 figures. And what we're doing is we're going to clear all those social miasms, which are kind of almost like a group hypnosis. You know, we're going to clear those things, especially related to women, but I'm expecting men and women to be in that class because it certainly affects both men and women, the roles that we were stuck in. And really getting ourselves into present time where we can powerfully create. And specifically to you, I mean, the step forward and maybe one of the biggest steps for you, Charcel, is I am a master of my money. I love earning money, and it's so much fun to handle and manage my money. You know, when you talk about really for yourself, that's one of the things that I know in a previous session we talked about this, that maybe that wasn't set up for you. Maybe it was set up or expected that you would have a husband take care of you. And so really starting to own and claim the space that you are the master of your money and you love handling money. It's so much fun.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
How does that feel, Charcel?
Well, some of it feels right because I do, I get perturbed about having to deal with money. It's like, this is a huge waste of my time, goes through my head, and I need to flip that because It's not true. When I was very little, I saved money. Before I was five, I saved my father's change every day and bought the Madame Alexander doll I wanted, you know. And then somehow I was not in charge of any money, and it's very odd. And I'm sure part of it is that DNA thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, that's not my job.
Yeah, let me interject here too, Charcelle. As you say, I'm sure it is a DNA thing, and absolutely it is. And it seems to have been mostly from your mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
So your father's side seems clearer with women and money, and your mother's side has some pretty strong impact on your physical energy, on how you think. So it looks like it's in your mother's side of the DNA.
I had a grandmother who divorced like in the 1910s.
Mm-hmm.
Because the man was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And then she proceeded to build and own an entire town and hold all the important jobs.
Okay.
And my mother grew up having no responsibilities and a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom always had money.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't, her mother didn't want her to work because she had to work so hard. And so it's very odd. I'm very like the grandmother that built the town.
Mm.
That he was in charge of money and I'm
right.
Not.
She loved it. And see, the thing that's missing is that you don't love it. You think it's an annoyance or disturbance. And so maybe you got that from your mom.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing that, so this affirmation is really for, because you need to start getting juicy and having fun and having some humor in, I love handling money.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help you really, mm-hmm. really claim the next step for you. Because as
okay.
long as you don't like handling money and you think it's a big hassle. Perturbed about money, big hassle to deal with money. That's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to turn that around. It's got to be
yeah.
fun. It's got to be fun to handle money.
Fun.
Yeah. You can do it. I believe in your capacity to heal, Charcelle.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Charcelle, so much. We love having your energy here. And we all know that this is just part of your movie and part of your expansion, and we're all participating. You've made us up, too. So we're here to tell you that it is fun. You are fun. You are here for fun, and there isn't anything you can't have.
Thank you. I agree.
Lots of love.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For those of you who listen to the Everyday Attraction every week, Charcelle does our Law of Attraction money cards. There you go. So she is reading those cards every week, and I think that is something that she has said yes to for many levels of reasons. So I thank her for being willing to just jump into this and really understand who she is, as we all are getting up to speed with what we've asked for, because we all know that it is already done, that there isn't anything we can't be, do, or have. And I think sometimes, too, Julie, when I don't know if this is something that you talk about as well, is sometimes you got to take money out of the equation for a little while and just focus on other things that align you.
Well, and interesting, when you have money as the equation, I knew she needed a breakthrough there, whereas this is fun, and she's got to use the word money. But actually, how I produce is by creating mock-ups, spiritual intentions. And those, I started way, way the heck back when I was in my 20s. And my intentions and mock-ups wouldn't be so much around the dollar figure as it would be how many people I would be in service to and how many people I would help fulfill their needs, wishes, wants, and desires. And so I would make intentions, plans, mock-ups, and it's just grown, through the years. But really focusing on what the end result was, not the dollar figure, but the lifestyle or the happiness in my body. When you have it all about money, you've got all your energy, like literally physically all your energy into that thing, and it gets to be more like a longing, which holds it away from you. When you're longing for something and you're putting all your thoughts into something, it really can't manifest because you're outside yourself. So you have to get your energy inside yourself and feel the feelings of the lifestyle, of the joy, of what you've created for others or what you've created for yourself. and then the money can come to you because there's room for it to come to you.
I love your mock-up process. I have to say, it's been one of the more powerful processes that I've come into play with. And I know my processes, you know, been doing Abraham for 5 or 6 years, and I know all 22 processes. But what I love about our mock-ups that you present is you really get clear and concise. And I know as I was working this process for you, you were so wonderful in helping me kind of get clarified. Because sometimes even when we start to speak about our desires and our mock-ups, kind of thinking from the end result back, we get kind of muddled and trying to put that your coaching helps clarify the mock-up, get it really specific, get it really direct, and point that.
You know, you cut out. Can you say the last words?
Sure. I love the conciseness of the mock-up process that you offer.
Beautiful.
You know, you don't try to put everything in. You get really clear about one thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, one of the hardest things I know for students is I have to get it into 15 words or less. But, you know, there's a real distilling. There's a real focus. There's real clarity. Really, all the extra stuff, the extra words actually take away from the mock-up. And you can have 8 mock-ups that are separate, but they should be less than 15 words. So that you're really saying exactly what you want to say. You're saying to the universe the truth of what it is that you're creating, that is coming into being, that is going to now exist for you. So the whole mock-up process and the 21 days of doing this mock-up meditation is really a distilling. And so every day gets more and more sophisticated and refined. And I really expect and anticipate the students to come through 2 or 3 times through the class. The first time you come through the class, you're really kind of in that raw, rough state. You know, you're like charcoal or something. You're like coal. And then, you know, you're chipping away, and maybe there's a diamond in the rough on the second time through. And you're starting to really distill who you are and what you're about in life. And by the third time through, you're a radiant diamond now cutting facets into your radiant life. And it just continues to expand and expand. And you can't expect to be the expert the first time through, but what you can expect is to get real clarity, real focus, a real kind of distilling of who I am and what I'm about. And, of course, that naturally changes as you're healing yourself, as you're bringing yourself into more and more full expression and letting go of illusion.
Absolutely. And I'm actually just changing here to another connection here because I think we dropped off again. Can you hear me, Julie?
Oh, yeah, beautifully, perfectly.
Okay, good. Absolutely, and I think that distilling process is so important. And, you know, there's so many processes out there, and you just have to really go with what feels good. And I think again and again, if something feels good to mock up, you just get really delicious about it, and it has sort of a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
We have another caller I'm going to bring on through. Area code 609, you're live. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think I have a feeling I'm still on the call. So wonders of technology, this does occasionally not often happen. So I can talk to you a little bit more about Ray and I were speaking about last week's show about the experience of being stuck. And that might come from a listening that you have. I was mentioning that I have had clients come in and tell me I'm blocked, I'm blocked, I'm blocked. And that shift that happens when you let go of I'm blocked and you're in the, or I want to clear all the blocks, assuming, and so you're claiming that you have blocks, rather than you have opportunities to shift yourself. And so there's a different way of thinking about I can shift myself, I'm capable of shifting myself into a new way of thinking or a new way of experiencing obstacles or challenges as they come through.
Excellent. I am back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
That was a relief.
I was just opening up my abundance book. I thought I'd read my book.
I love it. I love it. Area code 609, are you live with us? Doesn't look like that caller is coming through.
just keep going along here.
Okay.
Okay, we have another caller. Let's see here if I can bring them on. Area code, let's see. 415-599. You are live with us. Go ahead.
Yes, hi everyone. This is Joseph.
Joseph, of course you
need
to
say hello. I keep losing it. You keep coming back. Working your retrograde stuff, maybe? I don't
know.
Anyway, so glad to hear you back on the show, Julie Renee. Wonderful. I have a burning question about the nature of healing, particularly as it would apply to the inner one's stay here in this realm. Earlier, a person is near their end, and they're ready to check out, but they aren't consciously aware of it, and they want to come in for healing. Would that be effective? Would you be able to work on someone like that, or would you see a sign or hear a message from the other side that this is not a thing to do? And,
I understand the question.
I'm not getting it very clearly, but you get the gist of what
No, I totally understand it. So you're seeing that there might be a possibility of someone coming in who could maybe be at the end, and maybe it's the appropriate time for them to leave. And if they came in, would they get help from me, and what would that be? And absolutely, because, you know, I don't do kind of cookie-cutter healings. I actually work with their high self. The Supreme Being comes into the healing right from the very beginning. I do a blessing and ask the Supreme Being to oversee what gets done. So nothing gets done that shouldn't be done. And we actually get permission from the body and from the spirit. And so a person, you know, I don't know if you know this, Joseph, but I've actually assisted more than 30 people in passing, in their beautiful passage. And actually, Ray and I were talking about this, one of my real big initiations. When I was 26 to 28 years old, I belonged to Lake Harriet Community Church in Minneapolis. And they put me on the altar. We had a healing service every fourth Sunday. And I would sit up there with six other healers. And young woman that I was, they had me doing hundreds of healings for the dead. And so for 2 years, I did healings for people who had passed on. And what a blessing to come in and do some healings before you leave your body, so you're actually pretty complete, so that you don't leave in distress. And that your passage to the other side is more like being birthed, like a midwife birthing into the other side. And so your transition goes so beautifully. You're connected with your family, your friends, the healing temples that you belong to. I was working yesterday with someone who's just passed over, and she's American, going into the Buddhist healing temples. Another gal I was working with yesterday, I had actually two people have passed on in the last, actually one in the last 6 weeks and one a few years ago, and she had gone into the Christian realm. And it's just great to have whatever healings and whatever peace of mind, you know, and clarity, and really, like, leave here as fresh and beautiful as when you came into this realm, which was the other aspect that I've worked with, which is I've assisted with about 130 births, and all of those were high risk, and helping the baby spirit actually get really in the body and then successfully have a live birth and, you know, beautifully come in. So absolutely, it's beautiful.
And even if this birth passing over, I guess my quandary was if that person does consciously know their time that they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But their higher self knows, you know, what can they do by coming in. And you could just work with them to help prepare them for that stage, that stuff, enjoy them.
We do healings so that they're, you know what, it's really quite complex, but the first thing I do after I do the blessing is I ask the whole being that sits in front of me, not verbally, but spiritually, what body are we going to work on today, or what bodies are we going to work on today, mental, spiritual, emotional, or physical. And then from that, we go, what areas in that body, mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual, do we work on. And then from that, we start working on energy, making things correct, bringing things into balance. So there's no inappropriate time for people to come in, because we're a being and we continue to exist whether our body is here or not. And so as much clarity and, you know, we really do most of our healing in the physical realm. Once we leave our body, we're off having fun. Or maybe we're not, you know, if we left in a hardship, we might be in a place of hardship. But the realm that's outside of the body isn't where we've really grown the body. So even if you have 6 weeks left, you're able to make big leaps. You're able to clear karma with family members so you don't have to recycle. You're able to forgive yourself. You're able to love yourself more. There's all kinds of things that happen. So there's no guessing that something wrong is going to get happen. Something very right is going to is going to happen.
One thing that you know, that you and I share is understanding you know, what Abraham is saying, and I thought it was always interesting when they said that every death is a suicide, in the sense that every death is a choice. You choose at what point you're going to.
I have to say this, I'm going to interrupt you just a tiny bit, but five times the doctors have said you can't make it a day or whatever, five times, you know, like, no, I'm not going.
Right, exactly. I think we forget a little bit about our own power to move in and out of the realm, you know. And that's part of the amnesia of forgetting who we really are.
Powerful state of being. That just makes me feel so kind of like, yes, absolutely. So if we decided that that was the time to go, then go. But, you know, we have other choices. And, you know, it might be that the body's worn out. It's like, okay, I want to go put on some new clothes. Well, that's totally cool. You know, if the body's worn out and you want to go get some new clothes, go get some new clothes.
Yes. And I love that about the beasts of our planet, too. You know, you don't find crippled old wolves in the wild, you know. They pass over way earlier than that because they know that there is a fluidity of popping into a spry new body and trying for another adventure. The animals I know that do get into that sort of slow slide into transition are often hanging around with their human partners and picking up on some of their vibrations. So it's quite fascinating, I think, that fluidity from the physical to the non-physical that we're constantly talking about, you know, and wanting to understand.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing I just want to just joyously say, because I work with mostly people in-body, but certainly I've had work with lots of people out-of-body, and there's nothing wrong in either realm. I mean, they're both really wonderful opportunities for us. And so, you know, I have no judgment on that. It's like if it's your time and you're ready, you've completed what you want to complete, then carry on and have a rest time, have a play time where there's no physical limitations. And if you want to stay and have some more fun or grow some more, then stay, you know. It's just that easy.
And I think also when loved ones do pass over, it is the grieving process, I think, is so astute because we haven't learned to connect with them in their non-physical state. And I'm curious sometimes if that isn't part of the evolution that we're asking for, that we can more fluidly connect with the other side so that when our loved ones pass, the suffering is not so acute.
Yeah, well, and it's the suffering actually, the grieving process is actually the physical body missing a physical body. That's really what's going on. And so the physical body lines up with the other physical body, and actually worked with a gal whose husband committed suicide a year ago, and she had a little 1-year-old when he committed suicide, and her aura went to black and gray, and all her organs and glands were black and gray, as if she had died. So she was lined up, her physical body lined up with his physical body. The minute we shifted her back into adding light, bright colors back into her aura and her glands and organs, she's just like vibrant, and she's having art shows, and she's having parties, and she's like, you know, back in her life. And so we match the death energy when someone we love goes. And as quickly as we can, if we can get out of that match and back into the joy of I'm alive, and this is a good life. And the other thing that was so helpful for her, she was able to, through me, communicate with her husband on several occasions and really just say goodbye in a really beautiful way.
But isn't that all that we're really wanting, is that knowing and that relief that says nothing has died here. The physical even is just in transition. There is no such thing as death. And I love this reverence about kicking death to the curb and really saying, let's stop telling ourselves this lie. And remember, there is only life and more life. And yet there is so much, there's so much drama and so much story around the ending. You know, it's incredible how much as human beings we have built. Oh, such a difficult story about our transition both in and out of the physical realm.
So, so true, you know, and I do see people hold on for years and years, and really their loved ones on the other side are waiting for them to get in peace so that they can move on and, you know, get into that place where they want to shift to. So, you know, it's really a favor for us to heal ourselves and allow that shift to happen. You know, just really let it go, you know. And it is natural for us to be in grief for 6 weeks. It totally is. Bodies really miss the bodies, no matter how rapid or how highly evolved you are. You need to actually say goodbye to the body, and body to body, they say goodbye to each other. But then after that, it's your choice how long you want to hang on.
So how can Joseph really powerfully be with this person that he's talking about? What's the most powerful vibrational stance he can have with them?
I think honoring and respecting the space they're in, even if they're in delusion, to just respect that. You don't have to be their healer. They've gotten to this point in their process, and if what they want is to keep up a good side or an illusion, you could do that. I also think they're just being real, just talking about the things that really, like, what was so beautiful about this life? What did you really love in this life? What are our happy times? What do you still want to create, if you want to create anything? You know, what's of value? Really just being present with the person, not what you're listening for the person, not with what you think or what you know, but just be present. And you know, this was a lady who was just a day before her death, and she loved to sew, and she was quite a homemaker, and she was just transitioning between the two worlds, and she was picking up what looked like a needle and thread, but there was actually nothing physically that we could see. And the most beautiful thing, her hospice worker had actually reached out and taken, oh, let me take that for you. And just symbolically removed the needle and thread that the dying gal had picked up, even though there wasn't physically a presence with something. Just, like, let that shift just be natural. They don't have to struggle with, are they perceiving things correctly? So if it's, you know, at that point, I thought it was so loving of her to just say, oh, yeah, I see that too. Let me take that from you so you don't have to worry about that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Is that helpful, Joseph?
Yes, thank you so much. Love your show, Ray.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. I am on the call here with Reverend Julie Renee, and we are just exploring the realms of vibration, understanding our circumstances and knowing that there is such fluidity here, no matter where you are or what is happening. And it's really coming into remembering. And Julie Renee is also launching her own radio show next week called Miraculous Living Radio, and it will be launching on September 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So there's lots of opportunities to just learn more and more, Julie, about this information of who we are and what we're discovering about ourselves. And do you find that just the information and the knowing is just endless?
Yes.
It's never over, is it?
Yeah. It's wonderful, you know. It's wonderful. I think my girlfriend Kate brought me over the love card book the other day, and I guess I'm the card that has, like, so much mental information, just, like, way, way too much. So I can trip myself up because I want to do 10,000 projects at the same time. But it's really great. I love being in this body in this lifetime and just having so many realms to explore and enjoy and work with you know, so many amazing, beautiful individuals that bring themselves to me and to my courses, and I'm just so grateful.
Well, we're grateful for the kind of skill that you have honed over time to see so far into the non-physical with your vibrational eyes. And I think it's wonderful that we come together and use those skill sets that each other has honed over time to see beyond what we say is reality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes we get so tripped up by the taste, smell, vision of reality, and yet there is so much more going on beyond those senses, as wonderful as they are.
Yeah. There's the saying that I've used for years now, bliss is an inside job. But when you really get into taste, touch, smell, feeling, the five senses, when you really are really fully embodying that, you're coming from the inside out. You're not actually, your experience is much richer and deeper when you're listening from the inner you rather than the outer you going out. So it's a luscious palette that you come from. And that kind of sense of inner peace and ease, inner confidence, which ultimately always gives you an outer glow or an attraction that others will feel for you when you're coming from that inner bliss. A positive sense of being fortified and a sense of lightness in the universe. That comes from the being from the inside out, not needing outer validation, but rather being bring a true to self spirit, you know, really fully embodied life and balance, really living your truth in the world. It's a beautiful, beautiful state of being.
And it is an awakening. I hear that, you know, that it's all here, but there is a wonderful experience of waking up and realizing all the capacity that we have. And I hear, too, in your teachings over and over again, that it is truly about loving ourselves more fully, more deeply, and recognizing who we are. And that love affair is just endless. It can go deeper and deeper and deeper into that awareness of how magnificent it is to be a spiritual being moving in and out of the physical. And you really said something that I have found in the last couple of weeks has come in handy, that inner validation is really the only validation that one needs to spend time on.
Mm-hmm.
That when we put our need for validation out in the world, it can get a little tricky because sometimes those energies shift and one day you're the it girl and the next day not so much. And it can be a bit of a roller coaster ride. So I really understand that inner place of coming from.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Completely. But it is something, it is a practice though, don't you find that it isn't something necessarily
Well, you know, you get one thing handled, you go, okay, now I inner-validate myself here, and then there's this whole new opportunity. Oh, I'm getting to be a celebrity. Oh my gosh, now there's going to be people who love me, and there's going to be three people over in the corner that don't love me. Oh my God. And then you go, oh, that's right, it doesn't matter. I'm not for everybody. I'm just for the people who are here to really receive me, you know. And we were talking about this morning, which I think is so funny. It used to kind of distress me about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt on every rag cover, always having a fight or something. And I realized, oh, you know, that's part of the celebrity thing. They actually get coverage every single week.
Well,
they don't care if it's good or bad. They just like, it's just coverage. They're just in the news, and they like being in the news, so they don't, I've never seen them sue anybody.
They don't stress about it, that's true. And I think that's part of the fact that they have come into a realization that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anyone's saying about you. And the minute that you start to defend yourself, you have, you know, spit yourself out of your vortex. You are now in a place of defensiveness.
Well, you hand the controls to someone else.
Yes.
You've just handed the controls to someone else to say you have value or you don't have value.
Yes. And it can be an old habit sometimes. You know, I think we take this up along our vibrational trail where we kind of say, well, what do you think of me? And what do you think of me? You know? And we get kind of that used to, well, here's my college degree and here's all the proof on the outside that I am quote unquote successful. But it's so meaningless when you move into this inner knowing. It is something that is fun, but it is not who you are. And I think waking up from the fact that you are not the degrees, or you are not the house, or you are not the relationship you're in, or you are not any of those things. They're simply characters that you've built in this particular movie, you know. And they are not the essence of who you are. But that can be a bit of a habit, you know what I mean? To look outside for how am I doing?
Yeah, I can see that. And I even less, I mean, another version of that, I'm thinking, I always think of it as just different clothes that you're wearing. And, you know, you can change your clothes at any point, you know. But it really isn't you. You're in underneath that, or your essence is, you know, like the outer stuff. That's like your hat and your scarf for me. It's not even a personality. It's the stuff you're wearing until you wear something else. And so at any point it could be stripped away, or it could, you know, get dirty or whatever. And it wouldn't mean that you had changed at all, because you wouldn't have altered at all. The essence of you, the light of you, the soul spirit of you continues to remain the same. Beautiful, radiant being of light.
And so it is an opportunity to play with some of the things that show up and look for the jewel. We talk a lot about this idea that everything that's happening is actually giving you something. It's part of your expansion. The contrast, as we call it, is all part of the game we're playing on this universe. And so how do you start to flip that conversation when something comes at you that is not necessarily who you think you are, and yet it is something you've created, otherwise that energy wouldn't be present? How do you flip that?
Beautiful. So just doing, you know, sitting quietly and listening. What is this? What is it about? And how does it, how is this information, what is the information giving me? So rather than looking at somebody's behavior or something else, it's just like, what did I need or want to learn? And what opportunity came from this? Or how can I grow? Or what is the next shift for me so that I experience an even deeper level of peace and ease? I don't know, 10 years ago I made a decision to not live in drama anymore. And wow, what an unwinding it has happened over the last 10 years. But just really unplugging from drama. And, you know, and then I made another commitment about my context for who I was, like who am I out of how do I operate, and I shifted from survivor to unconditional love. And every moment we can choose and look at the opportunities coming our way, and some of those choices were made out of a severe accident I was in, and I started looking at this as a really great opportunity to reinvent myself in a more true vibration where I can let go of the way I've operated from this moment, from the past to this moment, and I can create a new realm for myself out of which to live that is much more in line and in harmony with myself.
I think that is such a brilliant mantra. That is a brilliant mantra of this is an opportunity, this is an opportunity. At that point, you're still in play, you know. You have an opportunity to change perspective, because an opportunity says, I can look at this in many different ways, and I'm going to choose in this moment to look at it as something that is giving to me rather than something that's taking away from me. And that's a powerful stance, and I believe the universe then floods in with all the goodies. You know, here's what we're trying to deliver. A deeper, and I know it comes back to a deeper self-knowing and a self-loving. Again, just when you thought you've gone as deep as you can go, there is still more. There's still more to receive, but I love that, and I got a vision as you were speaking of just sort of this vibrational athlete that you are, that is just being so fluid and
ready to go wherever the ball goes, and yet you're choosing what court to play on. You said, you know, drama court, I'm done with you. You know, I'm not playing it anymore. And, you know, for me, a powerful teacher is one who lives their work, and I see that so clearly in how you present yourself and how you show up. And so as a student, I really appreciate that, that you live your work. And just in the way that you speak about that, hey, I've decided to give this up, reminds all of us that that is actually an option. You can decide to give up whatever the drama is. And in that decision, the definite reality changes.
Well, it absolutely does, and then you'll be, you know, you'll get the opportunities to go back, like for about 3 months, you'll have lots of opportunities to go into the drama, go down the rabbit hole, or whatever you want to call it, and you'll always have that kind of awareness of, oh, I can choose to go down there, or I can just choose a simpler path, you know, once you've made the decision, once the decision is kind of fortified in your essence, you'll see it. You'll see that you have a choice.
I love it. I love it. Bulwark, we've come to the end of our hour, but before I let you go, I did want to give everyone an opportunity to know about what's coming up with you and what opportunities we have to be at play. So what's coming up in the most clear present that people can join you?
Fantastic. Thank you for asking. We've got a couple of really exciting things. The Abundance Course is starting October 1st. If you've been in it before, you'll know how powerful it is, and it's a wonderful time to repeat it. For you newcomers, it's going to be a really amazing course with new content. So that's coming up October 1st. It's 4 Fridays at lunchtime, noon to 1:15 Pacific Standard Time. We've got the Unlimited Love course, which is clearing karma from your past, from your mother, from your father, from relatives, from bad love relationships and bad work relationships, and we really go through and clear contracts, cords, agreements, and karma. We end karma so you don't have to ever cycle through again. That's an amazing class, October 8th, 4 Thursday nights. Also, there's a new book coming out, Million Dollar Secrets to Extreme Abundance, and we're in the final edits, third time through on the edits, so be watching for that. There's a monthly series, the CD series. It's a teaching and a lesson. It's kind of a mini workshop in your home. It's amazing, amazing. People have gotten wonderful results from it. You can sign up for that on the product page, and it's only $16.97 a month. And if any of the listeners sign up today, if you go into the web page and sign up today, I'm going to send you 2 free CDs in addition to the one that's this month. So I will send you 2 additional CDs. And then we have a really, really exciting week-long in Mexico, May 10th. So mark your calendars and start creating your abundance for that amazing week. It's going to be just over the moon, wonderful. We'll be doing regenerating systems in the body. And I'm going to teach practical magic in the afternoon. So I'm going to teach how to change the energy vibration of food and water and how to test your body to make sure the supplements and the food you're taking in is good for you. I'm going to teach all kinds of practical magic things, so that'll be the afternoon lesson. And
awesome.
I'll be right on a pristine beach in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
That sounds incredible, practical magic. You can find about all of the information about these events at www.julierenee.com, and I hope you all join us next week for the launching of Miraculous Living Radio at 9 a.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio and also replaying on live365.com. Julie, as always, it's been a wonderful, wonderful hour, and I thank you for just swimming with me with all these technical information not through. We'll continue to play and cavort as we go. So thank you again, and just we really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Ray. Love you so much. And all of you listeners, blessings and light to you. Blessings.
Take care. You've been listening to Everyday Attraction, and I am excited to bring you teachers and authors and leading edge intuitives who are really understanding the vibrational universe that we cavort in. We call law of attraction. So if you enjoyed today's show, tell a friend.
Check us out next week. We'll be back again at the same time, or download an archive of the show on blogtalkradio.com/everydayattraction. Lots of love to you all, and just know it is all done for you.